Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse number 17 that we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's one of those short verses in the Bible that's real easy to remember. Pray without ceasing. You kind of get the idea that we're to continuously pray. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means to never stop praying. That it's always time for us to pray. And so prayer for the believer should never be a last resort. It should always be the first option. Did you hear that? That prayer for the believer should never be the last resort. It should always be the first option. Always we should take whatever it is to the Lord in prayer. Now, a lot of times folks will email or they'll text me or Jenny or send something into the church office that's a prayer request. And I never want to fail to pray. So I'm in the habit of the minute I get it, the second I receive it, I just pause and I go to prayer at that moment. This week, Debbie sent me a text message and Andrew had to go to the ER and he was in terrible pain. And so just right when I saw that message, right then and there, I just went to the Lord in prayer. There are other times where this week different prayer requests have come through. Lady in our church, Christina Bruce, is having some heart issues, and she emailed me the second I got that email. I went to the Lord in prayer because I believe that the Bible is true when it says in James chapter 5, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, prayer, when we pray effectually and fervently and in the right spirit, it availeth how much? Much. It works, in other words. Prayer works. Do you believe that today? And yet, I found in my own life, and I don't know if you found it in yours, that there are times where my default isn't always to pray. Sometimes it's to start trying to figure out how we can fix this problem. Is anybody else like me in that? It's trying to figure out, what can I do about this problem? How can I fix this situation, instead of immediately taking that thing to the Lord? And so I began asking myself the question, why pray? And what does prayer say about my Christian life? And I began to think and study through the Scriptures, and I discovered that it reveals a great deal about my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals a great deal about my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing, I've found that there are many who live without praying. Unfortunately, prayerless people will often wonder why they have no victory in the Christian life, or why they do not have better relationships. And quite simply, the Bible says in James 4:2, "Ye have not, because ye ask not." We simply do not bring it to the Lord. Prayerlessness reveals much about the heart of a person. In the same token, prayer reveals something about the heart of the person that is offering that prayer to the Lord God. Now, I'm going to give you many places, and I hope that you won't try to turn to every one in the Bible. Maybe you'll jot them down. But I do want to invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 86, if you would. Psalm chapter 86. Now, there are many prayers in the Psalms. And as you read through, you're going to discover that David would often write out his prayers as a song that he delivered to the Lord. And so, as we read through the book of Psalms, we discover that so much of what is written there is a prayer. And many of these will speak to you at various times in life, depending on what you're dealing with, what you're going through in your life. How many of you are like me, and maybe you've read a portion of Scripture 100 times, but on the 101st reading of a passage of Scripture, you find if the lights just clicked on for you. Anybody like me on that? And And I discovered that it was because at that moment in time, I was at a place where I needed it and where I was ready to receive it. And the Lord illumined my heart and my mind to receive that truth, to give me the grace for that moment through His Word that I needed to be sustained through whatever the thing was that I was facing. And perhaps Psalm 86 is just one of those prayers, and that it will resonate in your heart as it has at various and sundry times in my heart as I've gone through difficulty in my life. But I want to read this to you because we're going to come back to this towards the end. But I want us to bear this in mind as something that will give us a sample prayer from the Bible. Now, let me just pause for a moment and say that there are a lot of folks that would say, well, if you want to preach on prayer, you've got to preach on the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes I have people ask me, why don't we quote that in church out loud and so forth? Number one, there's no indication that the early church ever wrote prayers through the course of their religious practice. Number one. Number two, there's no evidence really in the early New Testament church that they quoted the Lord's Prayer per se. In fact, most of them never even heard it because the Scriptures weren't assembled until after they had gone to be with Jesus. And then also because the Lord never told us to pray that specific prayer. He gave that as a kingdom age prayer. And He was praying about something that was to come. And I believe, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It was something that God was looking to. Sometimes there's a prayer for unity that people pray, and there's nothing wrong with praying for unity, that we all may be one, but that also is looking to a time that will be fulfilled during the millennial kingdom, because until then, I don't want to be a naysayer, and I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, but the reality is that everyone in religion is not going to come together and be one until the Antichrist brings the one world church together. And that's not the true church. The true church will have already been caught away and be with the Lord in glory. So the first time that there'll be religious unity on the earth is under the dominance of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. So sometimes we see those things and we think, well, this is what I have to pray. But the reality is God is at times praying in those passages prophetically and looking ahead to times that would yet come. But here in Psalm 86, I think we'll find some thoughts that are relevant for where we live today. And let us look at it beginning in verse number 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Does that describe anybody here today? I'm poor and needy. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, excuse me, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me." I want to bring you a message today entitled, Praying with Purpose. Praying with Purpose. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in a rut in your prayer life. Anybody know what I mean when I say stuck in a rut in your prayer life, where it seems like you could record them on a voice recorder and just hit the play button because they don't really seem to vary all that much? And sometimes we forget what prayer really is. And prayer is not a ritual that we go through. It is not a religious exercise whereby we try to wear God down with what we're saying. But prayer is fundamentally communication with the Lord God. It's a dialogue with the Lord. Now, I saw the other day on a little commercial on television that Jay Leno is going to have a new program coming out on TV about cars. He's all into cars, and so I think it's interesting or unique, Cars with Jay Leno. But some of you perhaps remember watching The Tonight Show, and he would always begin the show with a little piece there. And what did he call that? The monologue. The monologue, okay? And what is a monologue? It's one guy standing up there talking, right? And it's not a two-way, it's a one-way, one guy standing up there talking. But God wants for us to come to this realization that prayer is not a monologue. It is not a monologue where we just talk. Prayer is a dialogue where the Spirit of God wants to reveal Himself and His truth unto our hearts. He wants to give us a sense of His presence with us. He wants to direct our hearts into what God, through His love letter, is trying to reveal to us. And so, when we come into the time of the season of prayer, there are times where it's urgent and intense, and I get that. It's like, help, Lord! And we can understand. We're asking God at that moment to deliver us from whatever it is, that hellacious thing like that David is praying to be delivered from. We're asking God to show me a token for good. God, just give me some kind of a sign here that this is going to be okay. And we understand the spirit of this prayer, but understand that fundamentally prayer is communication. It is a dialogue with the Lord of glory. And it says something very specific about what God wants to have with you. And we're going to see that unfold here in a little bit, because God doesn't just want to be this divine being seated in the heavenlies on a throne that has a big stick that can't wait to crack you a good one whenever you step out of line. Sometimes that's the perception that people have of who God is. But really, the Lord God came and said this, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what he was saying by that? I want to spend forever with you. I want to spend forever with you. I have a niece that was married on Friday evening. And by the ocean side, with the ocean in the background and everything. And we didn't have the opportunity to attend, but we saw the pictures and it was beautiful. And there, as they joined hands together, they said, I've determined that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Those are the types of things that you say to people that you love. And what the Lord has said to us is, I really want to spend forever with you. I want to spend forever with you because He loves us. And so He doesn't want to have a lopsided relationship with somebody that He loves. All of us know the pain and the heartache of trying to have a relationship with someone that doesn't care. How many of you have been in a situation like that? You know how much that hurts. When you love somebody and you want them to return that and to share that relationship with you and they don't. And I wonder how much God's heart must ache at times when He did everything to demonstrate how much He loves us. And sometimes we go about our lives as though He were not even there. We rarely ever talk to Him. Sometimes He must feel like we're giving Him the silent treatment. Because we turn inward and we think all about our issues and how we're going to fix it, and we close Him out. I believe today, as we consider this subject of praying with purpose, that there are some things that prayer reveals about us. And I want us to notice, first of all, that prayer reveals what you believe. Prayer reveals what you believe. You know what the Lord said to His followers in Matthew 21? He said there, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Believing, ye shall receive. Prayer reveals that you believe. First of all, it reveals something about our belief system. A, would you notice, it reveals that we believe that He is, that He is. The Bible says there in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He," what? "Is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So what we discover is that what prayer reveals about me and my relationship with the Lord is first of all, and very rudimentary, I understand, that I believe God is. Because he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He exists. So, sometimes I hear people say things like this. "Well, you know, one day I was laying in the desert and I looked up at the stars and I said, God, if there's a God up there, if there really is a God..." No. That's not how we come to Him. You know, "I doubt that you exist, and if you do..." No, we come to Him saying, "Okay, looking at the cosmos, looking at the creation, looking at all of your handiwork that testifies to your existence, I believe that you are. And so I'm coming to you now." So, when we pray, by that act alone, we acknowledge and we reveal that we believe there is a God in heaven. Amen? Now, I think probably we might say safely that prayerlessness reveals the opposite of that. Right? People that never pray, it would be easy to question whether they really believe there's a sovereign God who's Lord of all if we never pray. It would be easy to question that, right? I'm not making a declarative statement about you or about anyone that perhaps is prayerless at this point, but it would be easy for someone to arrive at the conclusion that for someone that never prays, they may not believe that God is, right? So, fundamentally, prayer reveals that you believe that He is. Secondly, it reveals that you believe that He cares. If you didn't believe that God cared, why would you come to Him in prayer? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He," what? "Careth for you." So, I'm going to cast my care upon Him. Why? Because I believe that He cares for me. Now, to be candid with you, most of us have probably been hurt in relationships. How many of you know the sting of being hurt in a relationship? Now, if you're like me, and perhaps like many others in the room today, once you've been hurt, and you've been hurt deeply, you're much more cautious the next time around. Is that true? Yes. We're not going to let anybody hurt us like we were hurt before. Isn't that right? Sometimes I'll have people come to Freeway Baptist Church, and I'll have the opportunity to visit with them. And many times I've had people say, "Pastor, we were hurt deeply in another church. And you'll have no idea, how much it took of us just to even come to the service today, because we weren't even sure that we could ever come back to a church again after we had been hurt so deeply." And maybe you're like that. You've been hurt in a church before. I'm like that. I don't... Look, if you've been around church for very long, you've been hurting the church. Now, that's not how it should be, but all it reveals is that there are people in the church. And guess what? Humans fall short of the glory of God, which means that sometimes they're going to, even when they don't mean to, hurt you. Right? How many of you have ever hurt somebody without ever meaning to? It happens, right? The other day I was backing up and I stepped on Phoebe's toe. I didn't mean to hurt her, but it hurt. She was hopping around. Ooh, I'm like, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. You know. And sometimes we hurt people we don't even mean to hurt them. So we've been hurt, but we determined I'm going to have all my walls of defense up. So you know what? We're not going to make ourselves vulnerable to anybody, because if I make myself vulnerable to someone, then they have the capacity to hurt me in the area of my vulnerability. And so what we do is we keep our walls up. I'm not going to tell you where I'm troubled or where I'm hurt, because if you know that, then you have the ability to hurt me in that area. So I'm not going to reveal it. But when I believe that God truly cares and that He has my best interests at heart, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come to Him with an openness and a transparency, and I'm just going to tell Him where it hurts, because I'm going to believe Him that He really cares for me. And that when I tell Him where it hurts and how it hurts, He's not going to plunder that vulnerability, but He's going to comfort me and heal me there. What it reveals about me is that I believe that He cares. When I come to that belief, I'll go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, it hurts. It hurts right here. It hurts right here. And He knows how to fix it. Sometimes we don't believe that He cares like that. And so we just keep it to ourselves. We give Him the silent treatment. But when you believe that He really cares, you're going to open the hidden person of the heart to Him and allow yourself to be transparent, defenseless. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 that all things are open and naked unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God knows it and He sees it, but somehow He wants us to tell Him about it, because He wants to have that relationship with us. It reveals, thirdly, that you believe that He is listening. He is listening. The Bible reveals in Proverbs 15:29 that He heareth the prayer of the righteous. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 121 tells us that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You recall last week we talked about the prophet Elijah and how that he did battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And when they prayed to their God and nothing was happening, Elijah mocked them and said, maybe he's asleep. He can't hear you. Cry louder. And, you'll never have to talk louder, because though you whisper, or perhaps you cannot even phrase it because your heart is so heavy, God knows your very thoughts. He understands the groaning of your heart. He is listening. His ear is open under the cry of His people. And so when I pray, it reveals that I believe that God is, number one. And number two, I believe that God cares. And number three, I believe that God is listening to me. I have to tell you something. I'm thankful for the convenience that is provided us through computers, but sometimes they frustrate me to no end, right? Every once in a while, I want to, bust off a caps lock in the thing. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you can witness that the thing freezes up. You get the screen of death or whatever. It's just bad. And this week, I swore that the dumb thing was demon-possessed. It was just doing stuff all on its own, And I couldn't figure the thing out. And, I'm trying to do everything that I know how to do, which is that much, to fix it. And I was thinking maybe I needed to go pick up Tim and Phoebe from school and have them come and fix it, because they probably know a little bit more about it than I do. But, Jenny, could you come in here and look at this? And she's looking at it. Yep, it's doing something funny, preacher. you need to do something about that. I'm like, well, that's why you're here. You know, figure it out. You know, but it frustrates us to know it. And sometimes what happens is there are different languages talking to the coprocessor all at the same time. And if they're not compatible, it messes everything up. How many of you know what I'm talking about that? Yeah, it doesn't quite work out. Can I tell you something? God's coprocessor understands every language, and every person on planet Earth can talk to Him at the same time, and He hears and He understands. You never get the screen of death when you come to the Lord. Amen. When we come to Him, we come to Him and we talk to Him. Why? Because we believe He's listening. He's listening to you, my friends. Understand this. It reveals that you believe He will answer. Jeremiah chapter 33 says this in verse number 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So the Lord is saying, look, if you call on me, here's what I'm going to do. I will answer you. I will give you an answer. So, can I ask you a question, honestly? Why would a person pray if they really didn't believe that God was going to answer them? In fact, I think that someone that chooses not to pray, it could be revealing the fact that they don't believe He's really going to answer. They don't really believe He's going to answer. So they say, well, I prayed before and it didn't work. I talked to somebody one time who said, Pastor, I tried to tithe, but it didn't work out. I said, well, tell me about it. They said, well, you know, I went to church and I took 10% of my income and I put that in the offering plate. And the next week, I still had just as many bills as I had the week before. And I said, well, yeah, you know, you see, the thing is, giving to the work of the Lord is kind of like the picture of a farmer. It's likened to sowing and reaping. No farmer puts a seed in the ground and walks out there the next morning and expects to see a crop, right? It takes some time for the seed to germinate and to sprout and to come up through the earth. And so it takes some time. And you know, sometimes we ask God to fix overnight problems that have been years in the making. You understand? Now, God can do that. God can just like that fix something overnight that has been years in the making. But there are more often than not times where that God wants to teach us something through that answer that we would never learn if just like that He fixed it. He wants us to lean on Him, to depend upon Him, and not just to be the fireman to put out the fires that are too big for us to deal with. But He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. He will answer. Now, how does God answer prayer? Three ways. One is what? Yes. What's the other? No. And the other? Wait. Wait for a while. Now, I got to tell you something. Most of us think wait is just like no. I was telling my Sunday school class that Phoebe came to me recently and asked me if I would paint her bedroom a different color. And I said, yeah, I'll paint your bedroom a different color. And every day for a week, she said, Dad, when are you going to paint my room? Dad, when are you going to paint my room? Now, I'm not kidding you. For a week now, solid week, she's been, Dad, when are you going to paint my room? I'm like, honey, I'll get around to it. You know, Daddy's got to be home in order to paint the room, you know, and I haven't been home too much, you know. And then I got to be home for more than just an evening because it's going to probably take me probably a couple of days to take everything out, mask everything off, do it the right way, you know, and put it all back together and stuff. And I said, you know, I'm going to do it. She's like, well, Dad, when are you going to paint my room? The next morning, Dad, when are you going to paint my room? I said, you know, I'm going to get around to that. And you know, it would have been easier for me to just say, no, I ain't painting your room. Right? She probably could have dealt with that a little better than me saying, you know, I'm going to get around to it, right? And some of us are not too good at dealing with the wait answer, right? Because some of us get impatient with microwave popcorn. Right? You know who I'm talking to out there, you know. It's like, come on, hurry up, you know. It's like, and some of you can remember the day standing there with the kettle, you know, over the fire. And doing this number, waiting for them all to pop, you know, they're coming up out the top and things like that. And on Sunday night, I can remember every Sunday night, my dad saying, you know, go get the, mom had a big pressure cooker. And we had that big kettle thing. And Dad said, go warm up the oil, pour some oil in there, and we knew how much to put in, and then we'd put the popcorn in there, and we'd make it that way. Nobody had a microwave back then, you know. Nobody knew what they were. In fact, they were the devil if you did. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like when computers came out, they were the devil, right? Some of you think that now. They might be. How do you think he's going to keep track of everybody with that 666 deal? Anyway, it's going to be through computers. So anyhow, so the devil. And I'm just kidding you. But anyhow, we don't like the answer of wait. But when we call upon the Lord, it reveals that we believe that He's going to give us an answer. Because if we didn't really think He was going to answer us, why would we do it? Right? Now, I want you to see it reveals this, that you believe He is able to deliver you. How many of you have ever been in just a mess? You're just, some of you are living in a mess right now. In fact, some of you wouldn't know what to do if you weren't in a mess. And some of you that are not in a mess are fixing to create one just so you feel more comfortable, right? Because you just don't know how to deal with prosperity in your life. But here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for Thee. Can I tell you what is giving you grief and anxiety and causing you to have all sorts of health infirmities, hypertension and migraine headaches and stress beyond measure doesn't even make God have to break sweat. Did you know that? There's nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. So when I come to Him with this tough stuff, you know what I'm revealing by that? I'm revealing that I believe that there's nothing too hard for Him, that He's able to deliver me from anything. Amen? How many of you believe that God can deliver you from anything today? How many of you believe He can free you from a chemical addiction? How many of you believe that? God's able to free you from a chemical addiction. All right? Some of you maybe don't believe, you're a little skeptical. Right? I'm just praying God will free me from this man. Either by the undertaker or the undertaker. I care not which it is, right? God's able to do the hard stuff. Amen? And He can fix whatever the problem is in your life. It doesn't matter how tangled a web it may be. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, I want you to notice with me, secondly, that prayer reveals that you recognize some things. That you recognize some things. Now, as we consider prayer, there are two prayers in contrast that we read about in Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, the Bible says that two men went into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Let's stop for a minute. How many of you